I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of
Hariom, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, tonight's show will be jam-packed with information, that's for sure. And, of course, the title of the show is ET Yoga, so you can expect some heavy yoga philosophy, as well as some mind-boggling information from the Tibetan Pleiadians, or extraterrestrials. And we're going to be talking about the concept of higher self in a spiritual journey. We're going to go through specific conditions that are requirements for extraction from planet Earth. And also we'll be talking about taking care of your inner realm. So before we get into all of that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner, by having a little bit of japa yoga or mantra repetition. It's always nice to be able to start off the program setting a frequency and a tone with this mantra repetition that will be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, one of my spiritual teachers. That was a clip from back in the 1970s. And of course, on this program, we use the term yoga in the real sense of the word, which means union, union of you and your higher self. And integral yoga is comprised of six different branches of yoga, of which hatha yoga, or the postures, which include the asanas and the pranayams and the cleansing exercises, are what comprise hatha yoga, which is what most people in North America consider as yoga. But the yoga, the real yoga, is more about standing on your own 2 feet than it is standing on your head, as quoted by Sri Swami Satchidananda. And this higher self is what we're going to be starting to focus on tonight's program. But before we get into that, I'd like to extend an invitation to the ET Yoga listening audience to contact me concerning your suggestions for program content, as well as you can ask questions about anything that's produced, provided on this program. And I'm more than happy to answer your questions to the best of my ability. Free service, no strings attached. You can contact me at paperfungo, paperfungo, at yahoo.ca. That's paperfungo, paperfungo, at yahoo.ca. And also, nothing makes my day more than hearing about your successes, utilizing ideas, concepts, and techniques that you hear on this program. So please feel free to share those. I'd like to also give my thanks to the ET Yoga listening audience just for being you, because of the difference you're already making in the world just by being you. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most beneficial aspects of ET Yoga, and also sharing insights. And it's thought to be accurate, but it's provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, you should know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical, big pharma, mainstream media, and technology to the best of your ability given your particular circumstances. And if you want to go back into the archives of ET Yoga, and by the way, that's another free service for our listeners. Go to BBS Radio ET Yoga on the main page, scroll down to the archives, click on the archive button. It'll take you to all the shows that have ever been done on ET Yoga. It goes back like 16 years. And this program will likely appear about Tuesday of the following week. So if you'd like to take your time to go over information, if it came too rapidly, or you wanted to just take notes, you can do so at your leisure by going to the archives. Free service, no strings attached. Now, in getting into this highest yoga, or one of the goals of yoga, self-realization, What does self-realization mean? It means realizing your real self. Well, I guess first off, you have to know you have a real self. And for those that concept's not valid, well, that's good. That's good. You just got to keep on going until you figure out that it's something to strive for. And how does this come about? Well, when a person is ready, the teacher appears. And in this case, on a spiritual journey, it's called the planting of the seed. The planting of the seed is when an individual becomes aware that there are higher levels of consciousness and that you have the ability to attain them. This is a concept that does not exist in any religions. Religion is there to create themselves as a middleman. And the concept of self-realization does not exist in religion. And in point of fact, all religions were created by the Anunnaki. Enki in particular. They had Anunnaki. Now, this planting of the seed is really the true baptism. It's when you're truly reborn because you become aware of the possibility. And once you become aware of the possibility, the process grows. It's kind of like, as they say, a snake shedding its skin. It sheds its skin at the rate it sheds. Some people progress faster than others. But it's definitely the beginning of the spiritual journey. I once asked Sri Swami Satchidananda, does everybody need a guru? Well, it's a good thing we don't, because there's not very many valid ones out there. There's a lot of BS out there, mostly. But Satchidananda said to me, he said, no, you don't really need a guru, but let's say you're looking for an address in New York City. You've never been there before. Someone that knows the way, they can point the way, can save you a lot of time. So you can take that for what it's worth. The saying in India is you find the guru on the outside and then you need to find the guru on the inside. But this whole concept of higher self, or to be self-realized. When you become self-realized, it doesn't have anything to do with ego or your personality or anything that you can identify with that's personality-based. So, this higher self actually splits itself into like 12 other souls. So out there someplace in the world, not necessarily in this time frame or in this planet, are 12 other individuals that comprise your higher self. When you attain a oneness with your higher self, you'll have that perspective. And there's also, apparently, 5 alternative Earths in this dimension with at least a 2% difference between them. And this would be in the perspective of a self-realized being. This would entail a fully activated 12-strand DNA and a fully activated 12-chakra system, because this is our extraterrestrial heritage. We are the result of the best this galaxy has to offer, and are an accumulation of 22 different extraterrestrial species. And the last time that we functioned with a fully activated system was in Atlantis, specifically the Atla-Ra, who were the high priests of Atlantis. And just for your information, according to a Syrian evaluation of the planet, they did a scan about 10 years ago of the population, and there wasn't one person on the planet who was functioning at this level. So a lot of the things you hear out there are not accurate according to Syrians. Now, over the course of time, centuries, there have been self-realized beings on this planet. Not to say that there may not be now, but they're very few. Then all of the higher selves converge to form the Oversoul. And all the Oversouls converge into the monad, which we call God, Prime Creator, all that is, or whatever other label you'd like to use to try to define Infinite Spirit, which can't be defined. There are only two objective facts in this life. First, the entire universe was created from unconditional love, and second, that we have awareness. Personality is an illusion, and any place you identify with is just another place to be stuck in this process of becoming self-realized, which is why each person evolves or advances at the rate they do. All these so-called experts who claim to be able to give you acceleration by charging you money for their dribble, or what they would like you to worship them as a real guru, is garbage. And there are two kinds of legitimate gurus: Upa gurus, who point the way, and Sat gurus, who are the way. And these Sat gurus are very few and far between. One particular individual, Sri Ramana Maharshi, who has a book out called The Path of Self-Knowledge, in my opinion, definitely one of those individuals, a real Sat guru. A couple of other high candidates were also spiritual teachers of mine, very famous in North America, one on the East Coast and one on the West Coast. The one on the East Coast was, as you heard tonight, Sri Swami Satchidananda, who led the yoga chanting. And I was also a student for several years of Self-Realization Fellowship in Los Angeles, as taught by Paramahansa Yogananda. Now, in this process of a spiritual journey, there's one critical point that you must understand if you're going to progress past being stuck in the 3D world. And this is it: that your beliefs, your emotions, your intentions, and your definitions create the outer world that you experience. If you don't get that, you'll be you're going to be stuck in 3D. That's the concept that opens the doors. Because if you don't get that, that means you're not responsible for what you create. You're not responsible for your life experience. And most people that feel that way also feel that you just die, and if you believe in there are certain religions that you may have a life review and you're going to go to heaven or hell, or you just think you go in the ground and you're dead, or definitely you, because you can't take responsibility for what you're creating in your life, you think everything is happening at random. It's not so. There are no accidents. None. And information that you're not attracted to just flies right over your head. You don't get it. Because in this 3D experience, you cannot experience anything you're not a frequency match for. That's how things work here. We live in a simulation. We live inside a matrix that is a 3D hologram superimposed on a 5D background. And the way that everything works inside this matrix is based on belief. In the spiritual journey, a lot of it is centered around a contract that you agreed to before you were born. And by the way, reincarnation in my world is a fact. And I know that it's something that I can't prove to you, but reincarnation is. And all of the great spiritual teachers understand this. Because you keep your level of consciousness from one lifetime to another, and you sign a contract when you're born, in between incarnations, and likely you have certain goals for this lifetime that you need to learn. And it's why things sometimes keep reappearing, the same issues keep reappearing in your life. Because for one thing, if your beliefs don't change, those conditions keep reappearing. And how did you acquire those beliefs to begin with? Well, the first 6 or 7 years of your life, you're acquiring and downloading beliefs from your initial caregivers. That's sort of like the hand you're dealt in this incarnation. And you can thank those caregivers for giving you such amazingly good information. But at the same time, there may be some things that you learned that are no longer useful. And that's the part of maturing, part of the spiritual journey, to do your inner work, to find out what it is you do believe, and to reprogram beliefs that no longer serve you into more positive ones. So this is part and parcel of a spiritual journey. To not be attached to things. Because attachment to things creates tension. You kind of need to be a boat that's in the water, but, you know, it floats. Gets by in life. Now I'm going to share with you some notes I took during my first experience being my higher self. And the notes are somewhat like, go like this. First of all, in India, there is a stage of spiritual development when the seeker experiences the higher levels of consciousness or oneness with the energy of creation or prime creator or God or whatever label one desires to define the infinite. Sri Swami Satchidananda has said, as many minds, as many gods. The finite can never define the infinite, but it can be experienced. I first had this experience in 1969, and I also kept notes on the experience. Some of my notes are as follows. First, there is a God. God has no name, no form, no shape, yet all shapes. God exists beyond time and space, and yet in it. God has no beginning and no end. It just is. It is eternal life and infinite love. Time and space exist in the mind of man. No man can understand the infinite with a finite mind. The infinite can never become finite. But when the mind is completely still, man's mind can merge and experience self-realization. A man's mind can only relate to this experience according to his own capacity. For example, if you take a cup to the ocean, it will take the shape of the cup. Similarly, if you take the mind to the infinite, it will take the shape of the mind. Actually, there's only one God, but it takes the shape of each individual mind. For my mind, it's like we're all thoughts in the mind of God. It's impossible to describe exactly what it is like. Ram Dass would say that what we would most like to talk about, there aren't any words for. It can only be experienced. Reincarnation and karma are fact. What we carry over from lifetime to lifetime is our level of consciousness and our karma, which is the good and negative attachments we have accumulated. As you sow, so shall you reap is exactly true. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. This is a scientific fact. It is also a fact with our thoughts and actions. The universe has three phases, active, passive, and neutral. In the beginning, there is a void or neutral state. This energy becomes activated by an internal polarization causing creation, the sound humming. In this active state, there is no exact description, as again, it takes the shape of the mind. To me, it is similar to God wanting to know himself. Then there's the knowing, then just being. And from God's standpoint, creation and its devolution are in a twinkling of an eye. From the highest levels, it's all illusion, and higher yet, it just is. The energy was never created, nor can it end. Similar to doing something during the day, sitting and being aware, and then going to sleep. Rising with I am. The thought I is the first to appear and the last to disappear. The mind is like a woven cloth. When you pull out all the threads, there's nothing there. Yet the real you still is. Like a big eye and a little eye. When the little eye shuts up, the big eye kicks in. It's very difficult to explain, but you don't lose your individuality. When your thoughts stop, you don't fall through your mind into a deep pit. You still have awareness, and the energy levels are enormous. The bliss makes any physical feeling trivial. The closest approximation is sex. It's like a glimpse of a larger unity with corresponding feeling. Every person has the potential to experience this unity. Unlike traditional Western theology, which in many cases tries to make it sound like Christ was the only Son of God, and when you die, there's a judgment and you go to heaven or hell, the real point should be to attain a unity with Christ consciousness while living. This is the purpose of being here. Also, many others have attained this level of consciousness. And I might add that at the end of every ET yoga program, I give the Who Am I technique. And if you analyze the Who Am I technique, you will notice that It is a path towards higher levels of consciousness. And because one of the first things you're saying at the end is that I'm not my body. Well, who are you if you're looking at your body? You're not your internal organs either. And you're not your thoughts. Well, if you don't become very conscious, let's say you get lost in anger a lot, then you become those thoughts. You think you are those thoughts. But if you sit back with a calm, clear mind, you can realize that you can be aware of your thoughts. Well, if you're aware of your thoughts, who's aware of your thoughts? So you're not your thoughts. And eventually, you work up to, you're not this spot. What spot? And you can go through a doorway. But again, this is all about identification. What do you identify with? One of the things I like about Bashar when he meets people, that sometimes they'll say to him, I'm Joe Smith, and he'll say, well, if you insist, because the fact of the matter is that you're not. You're kind of, well, or you can say you are and you aren't, you know. In this 3D experience, you're functioning as the person Joe Smith, but in point of fact, you are your higher self and Joe Smith simultaneously. And when you realize self-realization, when you become self-realized, you also have a higher connection to the monad or prime creator. So the first realization is that of who is who you really are, which is who we all are, our higher selves, and the rest is illusion. That's the process of a spiritual journey. But you can't just say it and realize it. It has to be experienced. It has to be gained, that consciousness. And time permitting, I'm going to talk about some minefields that are out there on the spiritual journey that I've tried to keep people aware of over the course of years on ET Yoga. But next, I want to get into what I consider some mind-boggling information from the Tibetan Pleiadians, because there are a number of people that are being extracted from this planet. Extracted meaning taken off planet. And from what I understand, there's been at least 200 people have been extracted. And there are some preconditions for extraction. You may be one of these people that have all along kind of thought that you weren't going to die, that you were going to be either ascended through the ascension process or that possibly you were going to be extracted. And if so, I would pay close attention. These are the conditions that are dictated by the Galactic Federation and which are also based on the infamous Prime Directive. Although these criteria vary in each situation, the most important and prominent ones are the following. The subject must be in contact with the non-human race who will be extracting him or her, and must be a sole member of that group, or at least the subject must have had some kind of history with them. The subject who is to be extracted must know all the conditions in which it will take place, where he or she will be taken, as well as which people they will be with. The subject must not leave behind any people who depend on him or her in any way, ethically, economically, or sentimentally. The subject must resolve at least most of their life plan to their satisfaction, although this part depends on each person. The subject's extraction must not present any kind of problem, inconvenience, or damage to the non-human people who are involved. And lastly, the subject's inter-extraction must be offered to the human by the non-human extracting group and not asked, demanded, or forced by the person to be extracted, much less if any form of emotional manipulation is being used. So I think it's very clear here that it's not something you ask for. Trust me, they already know if you're one of those that your soul contract, you know, indicated you were to be extracted. They know about it. You don't need to do any asking. The extraction must take place with the full agreement of both parties and must be monitored by Federation authorities. Now, this is where it gets really interesting and of interest to all of us. The people who are extracted usually are starseeds who have some kind of prenatal agreement with their star race of origin, which includes them not having to finish their incarnation on Earth, wanting or needing to leave the planet. Permission is given to the craft from Starship Traffic Control, and that is in the Andromedan Biosphere ship Viera. And that coordinates with Earth's Starship Central Center that is located in Antarctica. After permission is granted, mysteriously, all the human Air Force fighters and military radars will ignore the presence of the non-human craft. This, in case there is still any doubt that the Galactic Federation is working with the Earth's governments and the cabal that controls them all. I hope you got that. So basically, if you're going to be extracted, you got to have permission from the Galactic Federation. And it goes through a certain process, and everybody's already got it, all the coordinates and everything worked out, because in point of fact, the Galactic Federation is running everything on this planet, including the cabal, and they've controlled both sides of all the wars that have ever taken place. And they're running the whole show. And all these governments are controlled by the cabal. Like, let that sink in. So this latest attempted genocide of humanity through these jabs, which were not even vaccines, but bioweapons, they're all with consent. Everybody knows about it. Even though it's banned by treaty throughout the galaxy, what they've done to the humans here, this is all with Galactic Federation blessing. course, you're not going to prove that anywhere. Now, moving on to some tips to fully realize the power of source energy flowing through you. First, you must allow everyone else to be where they are spiritually, mentally, and energetically. So basically, you must take them as they are. When you offer compassion, there's a positive ripple effect. When you hold resentment or anger and hate, there's a negative ripple effect. And when you send a ripple out on purpose, with intent, with desire, that is when you can feel how powerful you really are. You do not need to worry about linear time anymore. Remember that you are there to shift. And one of the ways that you shift is in your perception. Once you shift your perception of time, anything is possible, including the awakening of billions of people in a very short period of time, according to your linear time. Allow that to sink in. Relax into the eternal now. Work within the now, where you can then offer a different vibration from the one that you previously offered in that moment. Stay focused on what matters, and everything that materializes in your world will follow. You need to know that by thinking the same thoughts over and over and again, results in you keeping the same vibration. So those are some tips, actually, from Tegan Pleiadians concerning some advanced techniques related to your spiritual journey. Now, over the course of time, I tried, for the most part, to keep ET Yoga shows highly positive. But it also crossed my attention that people needed to know about certain things that were going on outside that could cause them a lot of problems. And some of these problems were in the area of health. And one of the biggest problems, as I noted, when I first started ET Yoga, I had a couple of shows where I talked about these sunscreens they were putting on people. I did a study on the, and I don't remember the exact ingredients in some of these sunscreens that were so dangerous that actually caused cancer. But the CDC published information about this. And then basically, you know, never got picked up by mainstream media and got kind of shuffled away like so many other ideas that are not meant for the mainstream populace. But the fact remains that these sunscreens are terribly dangerous. And I only use like argan oil or olive oil or rubbing alcohol in water, different natural oils as sun protection. And protection more for burning than anything else, because personally I want the high rays of the sun. And as many of you know, I've also done Hero Rotan Manix sun gazing technique, and I worked up to the golden level, which is 45 minutes of doing sun gazing. And I am not afraid of the sun. I consider the sun my spiritual father, and we all pass through the sun in our path to incarnating on this planet. And, of course, the cabal wants you to be afraid of the sun, but I'm not in that group. Thank you very much. And the next big thing that I noticed is the big minefield was GMO foods. And most Americans are just totally oblivious to what they eat. And part of the plan is to make Americans fat and stupid. That's just part of the plan. And the GMO foods have been banned in like 65 countries. And they're banned for a reason, because they're not good for you. They create problems in time. Now, places, stores where I used to shop, there's only one store now I can go to buy GMO potatoes. Out of the other five, don't even have them anymore. Most of the foods that people in North America eat, 90% of it is GMO food. It's amazing. And then not long ago, I came across information that most U.S. foods are actually banned in other countries. And I'm sure most Americans aren't aware of this. Things like citrus and sodas and Gatorade, they're all banned. U.S. pork is toxic. The feed they give the pigs is toxic. It's banned. 160 countries have banned it. U.S. pork. U.S. corn, 90 to 95% genetically modified. Prepackaged ground beef, filled with pork slime filler. Farm-raised fish and salmon, they have high levels of mercury. Cereal brands, the stuff we feed our kids. Things like Frosted Flakes, which I grew up on. Fruit Loops. Honey Bunches of Oats. These are all banned. U.S. milk. The cows are injected with growth hormones. U.S. chicken is washed with chlorine and injected with water and salt. Our bread is even banned, because it contains potassium bromide. Artificial sugars and sweeteners, which create diabetes and obesity. These are banned in most countries. U.S. products. All the processed meat, bacon, deli meat, bologna, ham. It's all laced with sodium nitrate. You know what the sodium nitrate's used for? Sodium nitrate's used in lab experiments with rats to produce tumors. I mean, when you look at the garbage that most people eat, It's no wonder they have health issues. And now they're injecting graphene in some places. You can have may take a quarter and it'll stick to the meat you buy at the store. They're working on, they already have done it, they're working on getting you approved to put like your vaccine, the so-called vaccine, in your lettuce and in vegetables. So there's a war going on here. You know, find out that you're in it. And try to pay more attention to what you eat. Try to eat organic foods. And organic foods aren't totally pure either, but they're the best choice you have. And you need to be eating mostly organic. And then some people say to me, oh, you know, it's so expensive to buy organic. Well, I'll tell you why it's so expensive to buy organic is because if you're eating meat, it's going to be huge expensive because most of your food budget is going to be meat. Sorry, but you should be working toward a vegetarian diet. And at some point on the spiritual road, when you get 6 strands of DNA hooked up, your body will reject meat. It's a natural process. And you'll find your food bill, you can afford to eat organic foods if you're not eating meat and these soda pops and the rest of that garbage and potato chips and all these burger joints that are all contributing to the cancers. Not only that, but of course the people that got the double jabs, they're finding they're hard to connect what's going on in their bodies, but because their immune systems are compromised, they're getting hit with all these aggressive cancers as well. And many other things, which I'm not going to go into in tonight's program. It's about that time when I like to give my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And in closing, I'd like to share with you the Who Am I technique, where you place your full attention in the center of your forehead and become that spot. And then you ask the question, who am I? And after you've done that a few times, then you state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.